You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yes, hello everyone and welcome back to the William Hill Boxing Podcast. Sam Norris in this week, stepping in for Lee Phelps ahead of a really, really good night of boxing coming up at the O2 on Saturday night. Some superb fights on the card, headlined of course by Vasily Lomachenko taking on Luke Campbell, but it's a really good undercard as well. Delighted to have Steve Bunce back on the line as ever. Buncey, how are you, sir?
Never been better. What a weekend of fights.
Yeah, it should be an unbelievably good night on Saturday. What a main event we have. Two 2012 Olympic gold medalists going head-to-head. Obviously, the WBA Super, WBC and WBO lightweight titles on the line with Lomachenko taking on Luke Campbell. But there's some great matchups on the undercard as well. We've got Huey Fury in action against Alexander Povetkin in the heavyweight division. The WBC flyweight title fight between Charlie Edwards and Julio Cesar Martinez Aguilar. Plus, another chance to see Joshua Buatsi in action as he meets and probably beats Ryan Ford. It's a smashing card, Buncey.
You know what? It's a standalone card without the enticing and intriguing top of the bill. And in all fairness, it should be. It's a pay-per-view event. It's a major arena. It's the top indoor arena in the country, one of the best indoor arenas in the world. And, you know, this is one of those situations where Eddie Hearn, Matchroom and Sky have dug deep into their pockets and they're putting on an event. And it's one of those things that's thankfully silenced a toxic minority that moan about every single fight that takes place every single weekend. It's a cracking bill. It's a great evening. Actually, afternoon. Starts at 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. And my gut feeling is if Lomachenko went the distance with Campbell, that might actually be past midnight. So we're probably going to be going for over 8 hours. Go figure.
You're going to get your money's worth. And this is, as you say, everything you want from a pay-per-view card. Let's get stuck into some of the betting surrounding some of the fights. We'll talk in depth about Fury's fight, Edwards, and of course Lomachenko, Luke Campbell a little bit later on. Quick line first and foremost on the Joshua Buatsi fight as well. He's 1-100 in the betting, 33-1 for the draw, 16-1 for Ryan Ford. I'm looking forward to seeing Buatsi again. He's the shortest price of the night. It's a formality. It's a case of guessing which round he wins in. But he's an exciting fighter, Buncey, and I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
Well, we say it's a formality. We talk about that and we look at those odds and it seems to reinforce what we say. But also some people suggesting that Ford might give him his hardest test. Well, if his hardest test is priced at 1-100, Cord knows what it would be like if he was up against it. The odds might drop to 1-80. It's straightforward. Everything that Buatsi has done since the Olympic bronze medal in Rio, and everything he does in the next 18 months, it's down to him. All he has to do is show up without an injury and with the right head on, and he'll be okay for the next 3 or 4 or 5 fights. He actually won't have to, in theory, fight or struggle that hard. If I'm Ford's people, I'm saying, let's have a go. Let's have a go early. Let's have a crack. Let's go out in a blaze of glory in 3 rounds. Instead of allowing Buatsi to slowly build up and stop you after 7 or 8. Because that's the most likely outcome, as far as I can make out from looking at Ford, who is talking, thankfully, a good fight. I think it's maybe from about round 7 onwards, Buatsi not taking any risks. Although I've got to tell you, Buatsi, when he boxed on the Joshua undercard, it was a half-decent fight there. I mean, he won every round, but 4 or 5 of them were a test. He didn't get out of the way of one single big looping right hand. So, as I said, if Ford's guys fancy having a blast up for a couple of rounds, who knows, could be interested. But 1-100, well, that's not interesting.
No, absolutely. And if you did want to try and back him in the round betting, it's 10-1 that Buatsi gets it done in round 7, 12-1 that he gets it done in round 8 for one of the more lopsided fights on the card, according to the betting. But the next bout that we're going to discuss is anything but. This is much more appetising from a betting perspective. Huey Fury in action against Alexander Povetkin. It's 6-4 for Huey Fury. The draw 25-1. Povetkin is 8-15. So this one, very competitive priced. Huey Fury's obviously spoken of his desire to become a world champion in the past. He's still only 24 years of age, but has been around for a little while now. And this, you feel, is an important fight against Povetkin, who has had 36 fights himself, has won 34 of those, 24 by way of knockout. Only Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko have beaten Povetkin. Do you get the feeling that this is almost a little bit of a do-or-die situation for Huey Fury in terms of his desires to become world champion? This would be a statement win, I feel.
Listen, Huey Fury could have quite easily taken on someone a lot less dangerous than this, and maybe then someone else a lot less dangerous than this, and jockeyed for position and ended up cracking a world title fight without taking a risk. He's already had a decently hard fight. He went to Bulgaria, lost on points to Kubrat Pulev, one of the best heavyweights out there, really a top sort of six or seven guy. This is a massive risk, but it's one of those risk rewards. I've got to tell you, he jumps the queue. If he beats Povetkin, and it's a decent sized if, I can assure you. If Yuri Fury at 24 beats Povetkin, then the question is, who's in front of Fury when he's looking up at, say, Joshua, looking up at Wilder? Forget his cousin, he's never going to fight him, Tyson. But who would then be in front of Fury? And I'm going to be honest with you, you know, on his left would be Dillian White. On his right would be a group of other young heavyweights that are not quite there yet. Tony Yoker, Filip Hrgović, and maybe Daniel Dubois. But I'm telling you, this is a real big jump, and it's a real big test. This is a classic risk v reward.
Yeah,
and in no division do we get to see that crash and burn and also succeed so gloriously as we do in the heavyweight division. Povetkin is a good fighter. He's one of the best heavyweights from the last 20 years. And I mean that. I'm not 15, 16 years. I'm not joking. Since the 2004 Olympics where he took gold. He's competed at the highest level, the top level. He's beat some really good men, and defeats have been against good fighters. Good fighters when they were good fighters as well. So don't worry about that. So it's a hard one. It's a big ask. I've just got this feeling that Yuri, the new Yuri, focused, motivated. I have a feeling Yuri might nick it on points. I really do.
He's got this new training regime as well that Peter Fury has described as brutal. It was a brutal training camp to try and strengthen up his body and mind. So your prediction is that Yuri Fury wins this and propels himself into the heavyweight title conversation?
Yeah, and by the way, this is a good win. I mean, this is a really big win here. You know, I kid you not. I mean, this is, you know, we got really excited about David Price stopping Dave Allen a few months ago in a joint top of the bill at the O2 when the bookies had Allen as the favourite. Well, Price had been stopped, knocked out by Povetkin only 7-8 months ago. So if Yuri Fury were to pull this off, I'm telling you, this is a big one. This is a big, big win. And he has to start, I don't know what the bookies say, he has to start as a decent, not a 1-to-100 underdog, but a decent underdog. I'm convinced of it.
Just about an underdog in the betting at 6-to-4, but it's certainly very tight. Povetkin is 8-to-15. Quick prediction for this one before we move on?
I'm fancying Yuri Fury on points. We're going to see a new Yuri.
Okay, Fury on points is in the betting at 5-to-2. If you wanted to go down that route, 5-to-2 to win on points in one of the most competitively priced bouts of the evening. On to the next fight on the card then. This is the WBC World Flyweight title. Charlie Edwards in action against Julio Cesar Martinez Aguila. Edwards is 2-to-7. The draw is 25-to-1. And Julio Martinez is in the betting at 5-to-2. Edwards obviously defending his belt here. He's declared that this is his era in the build-up to this fight. It's the second defense of his title, and he's meeting the mandatory challenger in the shape of Julio Martinez. Thoughts for this one?
Well, it's interesting because Martinez had a great win a few months ago. He stopped Andrew Selby back in March, but it was in Mexico, which is a tough ask. You go to Mexico to fight a really good fighter in his hometown, and Selby got beat. Now, had Selby beaten, had Selby won that night against Martinez, I would have 100% backed Selby to beat Edwards. I mean, 100%, okay. Flat out. 100%, guaranteed. Not to me, it would have been embarrassing to even talk about it, because not that's any slight on Edwards, just I really fancy Selby. However, it didn't work for Selby, the trip to Mexico, and he got stopped. So Martinez wins. Now, Martinez stopped an awful lot of men, I'll be absolutely straight with you. He's dangerous banger. He stopped 11 of the 14 men he's beaten, and he stopped some decent guys, including Selby. I just fancy the home advantage, the height advantage, the reach advantage, the size advantage, and this run that Edwards is on since he lost the world title fight a couple of years ago. I fancy Edwards, and I fancy him in a great fight. I fancy he wins on points, but it could be a late stoppage. But I tell you what, this is a real 50-50, and it's a good, hard fight. The sort of fight, whisper it, we don't see that often.
Okay. He'll certainly have fond memories of the O2. Of course, he won the title at the O2 against Angel Moreno. And is 2-7 in the betting, Charlie Edwards. So Edwards on points, that's 4-7. But is that your likely outcome here?
Yeah, I think so. Although saying that, if Edwards is really on his game, and if the crowd get behind him, and if little Martinez, and he is little, trust me, you're going to be stunned when you see how short he is. You know, I also quite like that stoppage in the last two or three rounds as a side bet.
Okay.
That's my side bet of the day.
Very good. We should make that a regular... Is that a regular feature on the podcast? Buncey's side bet of the day.
It is now. Okay. It's 1 week old.
Okay. Edwards either on points or via a late stoppage then. Let's talk about the main event. Really looking forward to this one. Vasily Lomachenko taking on Luke Campbell. 1-16 for Lomachenko. The draw is 25-1. Luke Campbell is in the betting at 8-1. Now, this fight sees our top price guarantee on round betting here at William Hill, so you won't get a better price on any of the round betting markets for this fight than the one you're being offered here at William Hill. There's a couple of enhanced odds already ahead of the fight. Lomachenko to win by decision or technical decision was 5-2, now 11-4. And Campbell to win by KO, TKO or DQ, that was 12-1, is now 14-1. So already a couple of enhancements on this fight. And of course, you've got that top price guarantee in terms of the round betting. An interesting fight here, of course, for the WBA Super, WBC and WBO lightweight world titles. Lomachenko, as we know, widely regarded as one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world. He had that ridiculous record as an amateur, and he's continued in similar veins since turning pro. Luke Campbell has earned his shot at Lomachenko, but this is obviously a tall, tall order for Luke Campbell, Buncey.
Yeah, it's a wicked piece of behind the scenes negotiating by different people, a bit of horse trading, because the WBC title was vacant and Luke was the mandatory, so Luke could have got anybody. Anybody's better than Lomachenko. Let me rephrase it. Anybody's easier than Lomachenko,
yes.
And Luke could have then won the title. Absolutely marvelous, top of the bill, you know, Saturday night, and then he could have had another fight, and then maybe he could have had a big fight with Lomachenko next year, and maybe would have made more money. But hey, sometimes when you win a world title, you become a different fighter. That didn't happen. The WBC, once they saw a gap, thought, you know what, the best fighter in the world at the moment doesn't have a WBC belt. He has the WBA belt, he has the WBO belt, so why don't we give him a straight crack at our title against Luke Campbell? WBC ordered it, bingo. Eddie Hearn arranged it, sorted it out, outbid everybody, or did a better deal than anybody else. So the fight's in Britain, at least, so it gives Luke a bit of an advantage. The problem is you need more than a bit of an advantage against Vasily Lomachenko. And Luke's got plenty of the things that you need. He's got a good boxing brain. He's got great amateur pedigree, European champion, Olympic champion, world silver medalist. He's got enough power. He's a couple of inches taller, 5 or 6 inches reach advantage. So all of the things that you need. He's youthful. He's the same age as Lomachenko, so he's not a faded champion. He's not moving up from a lower weight, so he's not going to struggle like one or two people that Lomachenko's beaten. He's not too old and faded like a couple of other people that Lomachenko has beaten. But it's Lomachenko, and he can adjust. He can do things that people haven't seen. You know, he can do stuff to, in the ring, that people hadn't really invented, and I'm not being over the top, I can assure you. I mean, I spoke to Andre Ward, a great tactician, a man who retired without defeat, amateur, only a couple of feats as an amateur, won an Olympic gold medal 2004, beat Karl Freitz, beat everybody, stopped Sergei Kovalev. I mean, he was a great fighter, Andre Ward, and even he marvels at what Lomachenko can do and how he does it. He doesn't quite know how he does it, and none of us do. And of course, the problem is, once you get in the ring, you know all of these things, you're prepared for all of these things, and then he does something else and you're not prepared for it. And so people are genuinely stunned. It's like they're transfixed, not by Lomachenko's eyes, but by his fists, and they tend to freeze. And that's a really bizarre thing, because these guys are seasoned. I mean, he made a double world champion and double Olympic champion quit on his stool after a few rounds, went back to his corner, hung his head in shame and pain. Guillermo Rigondeau. This is what Lomachenko can do. So it's a massive ask for Luke Campbell. And if we were talking about any of the other 30 top lightweights in the world, I'd be picking Luke Campbell to win, and I mean that hands down. But it's, in my opinion, it's impossible to pick Luke Campbell to win. So then you move on to, well, how does it end? How does it fight? Luke Campbell is good enough, brave enough, bold enough, and proud enough to want to win, and that could be his downfall. If Luke Campbell decided, look, I can't really win this, but you know what? I can fiddle for 12 rounds. I can nick a few rounds. Who knows what might happen in the last couple of rounds? He can do that if he wants to, but he's not. He's going to try and win. And in trying to win, it's going to allow Lomachenko, in Luke Campbell trying to win, it's going to allow Lomachenko to win, not easily, but to win perhaps easier than it would be if Luke decided to be evasive, tricky. Let's hope he does that. because that way after five or six rounds, there's not a lot in it. And then Luke could put his foot down then. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to go for it. And I think at some point, he's going to have to change his tactics. Otherwise, he's going to end up getting stopped. I still fancy he can go the distance. I just think he loses on points. I just still fancy he can go the distance. I just feel that Lomachenko would have done too much.
It's 4-11 for Lomachenko to stop Luke Campbell, and an enhanced price of 11-4 for Lomachenko to win on points, which could be an interesting way in. And I massively take your point there, Bunty. By Campbell taking risks and trying to win the fight, that could mean that he ends up losing the fight because he's gone out there and tried to win it rather than tried to just hang around.
And we're going to see that in December when Joshua fights Andy Ruiz and wins all 12 rounds by not committing. And you know what? That's a sensible thing to do. You know, it's not the great thing for the fans and it's not the thing you're promising, but it's the way to win the title. And Luke, in theory, could definitely survive 12 rounds, do what he's got to do, come out of there with a little bit of pride, but he will know he didn't do what he wanted to do. And I think he's going to do what he wants to do. I think he's going to have a fight. I think he's big on taking away and denying Lomachenko any respect. I think he's big on showing Lomachenko he's not scared. He's big on showing Lomachenko he's here to win. I ain't here to make up the numbers, take a payday. I'm here to take your title, which is bold and brilliant. I think it's flawed, sadly.
Good stuff. Really looking forward to that fight coming up on Saturday night, and indeed the entire card. It really is a cracker. Don't forget, we're a top price guarantee on round betting in that Lomachenko-Campbell bout, so you won't find a better price anywhere else than the ones you're being offered on the round betting here at William Hill. Bunty, thank you very much for that. Genuine pleasure to talk to you, as always, and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you, I will. Thanks very much, and I'll speak to you. Happy betting, as they say in the trade. See you later.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.